Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily on KFH. Tommy Caster, TJ Cleland, our buddy Tim Fitzgerald from GoPowerCat.com joining us now. Fitz, I think that I've been trying to, you know, for the last couple days, been thinking to myself, how do I want to start this segment with you? What's the right question to ask about what's been going on with Kansas State football? And I think I finally narrowed it down. And the question simply is, what the hell?
I think that's a similar thought with most of the fan base right now. This one's hard to explain. This is a really talented team, but there's a missing ingredient here. And I think it's just locker room leadership, and I don't think the coaches have done a good job either. And they just don't play with any extra fire. It seems to... they're very mechanical in some ways of how they go about business, particularly on defense. And it's frustrating to watch because this hasn't been typical of K-State football in a very, very long time.
It's almost a reverse parabola whenever you cover a team, is that whenever they're really, really good, they're awesome to cover, and it's like must-see TV whenever you watch them play. And then when they get more to like the, you know, 7-5 range, it's kind of the bottom of the parabola. But then whenever they're really struggling, that's when the real interesting coverage comes out. You agree with that sentiment?
Yeah. You really, in times of trouble, you start digging for reasons. I've gone through that quite a bit with basketball. Yep. Trying to figure out, diagnose what's going on. Football's different because I've always said this, that it's like a 12-chapter story, and each chapter is really more meaningful than, say, one or two basketball games. And it tells a lot about your team and the season, and I think this is a really important chapter. This going into an off week will really set a tone. If they can find a way to win and play better, I think they'll go into their off week with a head of steam, and maybe it'll be productive for the rest of the year. I really do fear if they lose this is going to be pretty much what the season is. An underperforming team with talent and no real competitive spirit that can be found.
It was one of the more interesting, I guess is the word that you could use, press conferences after the game on Saturday with Chris Klieman, where, you know, clearly he was frustrated. Clearly he was upset. He still defended his team, said he likes the team, all of that. And there, I think, were mixed sentiments about his demeanor, his tone, all of that after the press conference. How did you feel? I know you were there. I know you were asking questions. How did you feel immediately following that press conference after the game?
I think he's confused.
Yeah.
I think he's searching for what's going on with his team. To the point where he's got into the reflex of defending them. I think the phrase that really got him sideways with fans was he said, I'm proud of my guys.
Yeah.
And I don't think he meant it the way it came out. I think my daily delivery video is on this today. I think he really meant I still love my guys, which is different, but more clarifying that I'm sticking with them. We're here together. He wasn't proud of their overall performance, I'm sure. I mean, how could you be? But I think this team's just missing guys to make definitive plays that, you know, everything the Army quarterback was in this game is everything K-State's missing on both sides of the ball.
Fitz, we talked about, Brandon and I talked about on our Sports Sunday show over on KWCH, is that it's not crazy to think about, which is, you don't want to be the guy that's saying that the world is on fire and the sky is falling down, but the fact of the matter is whenever you lose to Army and you almost lose to North Dakota, you look at the rest of the schedule and who's the easy win at that point, you know? You probably had UCF circled, you probably had like an Oklahoma State type of thing, but Oklahoma State in a hypothetical situation, they're going to be favored against Army, they're going to be heavy favored against North Dakota. Like, the panic meter's at a 10 right now for K-State fans. Like, is it just to say that it's a 10?
I agree that fans are, I think they have shifted now after the loss from pure bewilderment to, hell, let's see what happens. And that's bad for a program when your fans so quickly arrive at, well, if they don't play like they give a crap, why should I give a crap? And that's the way it comes across. The one thing I really dispute with Coach Klieman, and we got into it over the squib kick, onside kick thing, a little heated after the game, mostly because I was right. But the one thing I just don't think he can find the button to push, and maybe there isn't one.
Yeah,
and maybe the kids, the players, have to push this themselves. And he's finding out that they don't have that dude. They don't have the Brendan Mott was the dude last year who set an example on every down of how hard to play. They were really pretty good in a mechanical way against Army. I mean, they were in the right spots. They never gave up big runs. They didn't get fooled. They just weren't attacking at all. So instead of a one-yard loss, it was a 2-3-yard gain. I mean, they averaged 3.4 yards a carry, and they almost ran for 3.4 yards every carry. And I just kept picking up first downs because K-State just was never in attack mode. They were on their heels the entire game. And I've never seen anything like it. I mean, Army put out a tweet that 13 plays is the lowest number of plays in the last 15 years in college football for a team and a half. When I ran through AI, because this is not a record they typically keep, when I ran through AI, they couldn't find any post-World War II. But even if it's 15 years, that's a long stretch of time. I didn't have hair 15 years ago, but I still could remember it. And that's 13 plays and a half, guys. And consider that Army had the last possession of the first half. So they essentially had the ball for 30 out of the final 33 minutes of the game. Just playing keep away. It was Army football to the nth degree. And it was, if you enjoy football, if you're an old school person, you know, in terms of your football taste, it was a beautiful thing to watch, even if it was your team happened to be on the other end of it.
Yeah, if you're on the other side, it can be maddening. It definitely was maddening and frustrating for the Wildcats and the entire fan base when, you know, they never were able to really touch the ball and make anything happen. And I think it shows that, you know, when you play a team like Army and they're going to play ball control, it's that essential that you make the most of each play you have offensively, mm-hmm. because there's never any guarantee that you're going to get the ball back. I want to get your take on this. I've seen, you know, everything on social media from the sky is falling to blow the program up to, you know, all these different declarations and all of that. One thing that has stuck with me a little bit, and I've seen it from a few different people on social media, is this sentiment that Avery Johnson deserves better. I've seen that a lot. I've seen that from a lot of different people that, you know, he's your coveted star quarterback. He's your guy that, you know, is going to or should lead your team to a ton of victories and a new level of success and all of that. And in the first three games of the season, we haven't been able to see that from him. And I don't necessarily believe that really it's all his fault. Like a lot of it's play calling, a lot of it's, you know, different things like that. What's your takeaway on that opinion that's coming out of the fan base right now?
Well, they recruited one of the best dual threat quarterback prospects in a very long time from this region, not just the state. And I decided he needs to be a pocket passer.
Yeah.
This makes no sense to me. You get to the end of the game and K-State ran like 46 plays in the entire game. Avery Johnson ran the ball 3 times. What?
Yeah.
What? I mean, the play calling to start halves is so safe that it's just painful to watch.
Well, and especially when they're without Dylan Edwards, right? Like you don't have your main threat running the football. So why not try to unlock your quarterback's ability to do that?
And, you know, maybe as the offensive line gets guys back, they'll become better run blockers. They're just not very good run blocking guys. Their stats and pass blocking are pretty good. And I argue that part of that is they have a really mobile quarterback could avoid sacks.
Yeah.
But their pass blocking is, you know, according to PFF, among the best in the country. And their run blocking is total nonsense, really inconsistent.
Fitz, I'll ask you this. I'll ask you this. You know, talking about what we're seeing on social media, obviously K-State fans think the sky has fallen and everything like that. And I don't want to add fuel to the fire or anything like that, but they're talking about what you do when your team does struggle. You talk about coaches getting canned and everything like that. This is a coaching staff that, for the most part, we'll just say Coach Klieman, won a Big 12 title 3 years ago. Like, what's the biggest difference between the coaching staff of that year to this year? Because, I mean, is it Colin Klein? Is it Connor Riley? Like, can you pinpoint anybody that makes us a different team?
Will Howard. Will Howard was the competitor. And I think we took that for granted, looking back. I think you still make the trade, essentially, of Will going to Ohio State and promoting Avery. But you don't do it and then not let Avery be Avery. And I understand you got to protect him. I understand you don't want to run him like Colin Klein. He doesn't have that physical build. But you are taking out the threat of him running. You're voluntarily taking one of your most important pieces off the table that at least if you run him enough, they have to account for him. They're getting to the point now where they don't even look for quarterback power. They know that K-State's not going to run him between the tackles. They just know it, and they don't need to defend that. And that's horrible scheming. You know, that's just you got to put all that out there and make people prepare for things. And quit being safe with your play calling. You're now 1-2. Your back's against the wall. You've scored most of your touchdowns.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ball downfield, go attack a team. Go attack them.
Yeah, they got to turn the page quickly, Fitz. Tomorrow night, taking on Arizona out west. They've got to try to figure something out very quickly. We're up against it real quick. Anything big over at GoPowerCat.com?
Just compressed schedule for podcast. So the pregame show came out yesterday, our Friday walkthrough premieres at 10 on YouTube. Just get on over and enjoy the coverage.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, Fitz. You can follow him on social at Life of Fitz. We appreciate it, my friend, and we'll talk more next week.
Thank you.
All right. There goes Tim Fitzgerald. Don't go away. We've got more Sports Daily coming right back.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.